You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
I've got so many meteor showers happening.
Today we're going to be talking about the fifth serial of the 19th season of Doctor Who, Black Orchid, which consists of only two episodes that aired from March 1st, 1982 to March 2nd, 1982. That's two right in a row there.
It's a birthday episode, sort of.
Kind of. A little early.
It's in March.
Yeah. True facts! And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring these episodes.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check him out at MatthewGolden.net.
Matthew Golden was just on my island in Animal Crossing, yes.
Before we dive into talking about this serial, I want to talk about...
Animal Crossing!
Some older serials. Oh. We got some comments that I wanted to read.
Okay.
From...
Are they nice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's just some like clarifications and such. There was that bit in Fort of Doomsday where we were like, why is the Doctor talking about paperclips? Or, not paperclips, safety pins.
Yes.
Paul Morris, hi Paul, said on YouTube, the safety pin comment is, I would imagine, a reference to the popularity of safety pins in punk fashion.
Ah.
Including their use as earrings. It is a bit dated for 1982, as the punk movement had really peaked by the end of the 70s, and even the New Romantics were nearing the end of the road. I don't know what New Romantics are.
I don't either.
Also, about Kinda, we were talking about the potentially problematic aspects of... Hendel,
mm-hmm.
And our good friend, what's his name? Chris Cherry had this to say, which I thought was interesting. Re-Hendel, I don't think he's supposed to read as chronically mentally ill as much as someone who has cracked under the pressure / influence of enacting colonialism. He's simultaneously a victim of Sanders' callousness in the face of his clear need for help and emboldened in his childish power fantasies that colonialism encourages. And he has reasonable fears that come from the fact that people have gone missing, commingles with his colonialist distrust of anything different, and feeds into massive paranoia. So he can't reach any kind of peace until he experiences something outside of the colonialist paradigm that encouraged his breakdown, i.e. the box, i.e. enlightenment.
Oh.
What do you think?
That makes sense to me.
It helps him see from others' point of views, which is what the box does. So, Chris Cherry, smarter than me. Those were the only things I wanted to read. Anything else we need to talk about before diving into this episode? Do we want to talk about my hair?
Do we want to talk about your hair? I was just looking at it, and you have, like...
I know. There's, like, little bits.
Yeah. There's this bit right in front of your ear that is, like, the length that it was. Do you see it?
I can feel it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's bad.
We missed it completely.
It's a pandemic. Tony cut my hair.
Oh, I cut half of it, and then Joe...
Did the rest.
So all the bits that are very bad, that's Joe.
For sure. Look, it was a little uneven on my sideburns when you
were
done.
So you put it to the smallest one.
Yeah.
I started on the highest guard.
Yeah.
And you thought, I will take the smallest guard.
Yeah.
And just...
Do detail work.
Go right around my ears.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know it would cut that close.
It's the smallest one!
Yeah. So, my sideburns are a little goofy.
They're gone. His sideburns are gone.
Yeah. If you are a Patreon patron, that's my head. Look at that.
Do you know what's funny is, that's not funny, it's...
Tragic?
Sad and kind of messed up, is that Georgia, which is where we live, will be opening barbers Friday.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah.
Well,
if you could have just held out for one more week.
I couldn't. It was driving me nuts. I couldn't. It was oppressive. It was an oppressive amount of hair.
If you could have just held on for a little bit, You'd still have sideburns.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have wanted to go.
Yeah.
I'm naivous. Anything else? Anything going on in your neck of the woods?
I did not cut my hair.
No.
It's just really long now. I've started doing a thing every year where I would let it grow out in the winter, and then in the spring I would cut it really short because I've been keeping it like a pixie cut length, and that's too much to keep up with. So I only keep up with it like spring and summer, and then when it starts getting colder, I let it grow out. So we're like well past the point where I would have chopped it all off. So my hair is really long. I have a lot of it.
So are you gonna go
to get a haircut?
Yeah.
No, I was really nervous when you brought home the clippers because I'm like this close to shaving my head though. I think I could look cute.
I'll do it. I'll shave your head.
Oh.
You just put the lowest one on.
You just put the
shortest guard.
You just start with the shortest guard.
Yeah, just shave her right off.
No.
I've seen V for Vendetta.
I used to have really long hair, do you remember?
Oh yeah, I remember.
Maybe I'll just grow it back out.
Oof, that seems like a lot of work.
I don't have to do anything, it just happens.
Yeah, I mean to like wash it. Like, that was something that was driving me crazy, washing my hair in the shower.
It takes so long to dry, because it's not just long, it's thick. We've been talking about hair for entirely...
That's what she said.
We've been talking about hair for entirely too long.
Like a penis.
It's, yeah, no.
You got that?
I was ignoring you. We should really, 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 really talk about Doctor Who.
Should we, though? Because, like, I mean, it's two episodes. We gotta fill time.
That's fine. There's gotta be something more interesting than hair.
All right, let's talk about Black Orchid, episode 1, which I have called Balls.
So you have.
Now let's talk about Balls.
All right.
Do you know why I've called it Balls?
Because of the balls, I imagine.
There's more than one type of ball in this episode. There's one that is costume ball. And there's one as cricket balls.
God, there's so much cricket in this episode.
You gotta, and like, I don't know.
Just a significant portion of it is cricket.
I don't know any, it's like five, it's over 5 minutes worth of cricket. And I don't know anything about cricket.
Can I say it?
You can say it.
You gotta understand crumpets to understand cricket. I fucked it up.
I think you got it right.
Did I?
Yeah.
I can't remember how
it went. You gotta know crumpets to understand cricket.
Which I do not. I do not understand cricket. We watch so so much cricket. Just being like, is that good?
By the way, that was a quote from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film, for those who don't know.
Yes. Which I somehow end up saying a lot. I think it's because you set me up for it.
It's because it's a universal phrase, you know? It just fits in.
Right. Like, we say that a lot, and we also, like, we say, who's driving?
Bear's driving.
How can that be?
Which is from... Hamlet.
Yes.
I'm not gonna explain it.
No.
Okay, so what actually happens?
There's a murder.
Speaking of things that I don't understand, this episode opens with, like, a series of shots of, like, confusing images. First off, there's a murder. We see, like, legs. We see a struggle. And then a guy falls down on the ground, on the floor, dead. Then we see someone who... looks like Nyssa, asleep in a bed, tossing and turning. And someone comes in and looks in on her. And then we see legs tied up on a bed. And then a guy, a South American dude with a big old lip ring, just reading a book. And then a train conductor. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
None of these things seem to connect to each other at all.
They all eventually make sense. But... right at this moment, it's just like a weird collage of weirdness. We get to the TARDIS and we have a... I guess it's just going to be every series going to start with like a little scene that's like, hey, remember last time? Because he says they've landed on Earth and Tegan is all, hey, I said I want to hang out with you guys some more. You don't have to return me to Heathrow. He's like, I know what I'm doing. And she's like, you can't fly this thing for shit.
That's basically what she says, yeah.
And he's like, no, listen, I don't know why it keeps going to Earth, but like, this isn't, still not your time. It's the 20s. Nyssa's like, is it okay to go out there after, you know, we set fire to London last time? He's like, that was supposed to happen. It's fine. what would have happened if we'd been there or not. And they go out, and the doctor has to explain what a train is to Adric, probably to Nyssa as well. And they're like, that sounds dumb. And the doctor is like, really? I've always wanted to drive a train since I was a little boy.
Just very confusing to me. Why did he know what a train was as a little boy?
Clearly they know about Earth stuff.
I suppose.
And then a guy in a car, like a driver, comes up to the doctor and is like, doctor. And the doctor's like, what? And he's like, all right, great. I got you. Let's go. It's time to go do the match. It's not going too great. They've done a thing so that we can buy some time so that you can go get in the game. And the doctor's like, right? Well, good. Let's go. He doesn't question it much.
No.
But he just does like a really confused face, which is very funny.
There's definitely a moment where like the guy comes up and he's like, ah, you're the doctor. And the doctor's like, yes. But then it becomes pretty clear that like he's not the doctor they're looking for. And at no point is the doctor like, oh, wait a minute. I see what's happened here.
Nah, he wants to play cricket. I mean, do you see how he dresses?
Okay, he is in like a cricket outfit, right? Like, yeah. That's his getup. So it would be like having like an American doctor who is just dressed in like a baseball uniform all the time.
Right, but he doesn't have the pads on and stuff.
But then like one day they land and get to go on an adventure where they get to play baseball for like half of the episode. And it's their favorite day.
Sure.
Okay.
Didn't 11 do this as well? He played soccer.
11? Yeah, 11 did get to play soccer. But he wasn't, it's not like 11 spent 90, like 11's outfit was a soccer uniform. It's not like right. He was wearing shin guards all the time.
When we get to 6, do you think we'll ever get to see him clown?
I thought about that when we were watching this one, because like there is a ball in this one, and everybody's in fancy dress, and the doctor dresses up as a clown.
A harlequin, specifically.
And it made me think of Kendo, where you were laughing so hard, because you were like, they think the doctor's a clown. And I was like, he is! He is in this one.
It was foreshadowing of both this serial and 6.
He was really good at cricket, though. I think...
The driver not only thinks that this is the doctor, he also stares at Nyssa very weirdly. But then it very quickly gets explained. There's a lot of that, where there's like a setup where you're like, ooh, what's that mean? What's that gonna entail? And then it's like, they explain it in the next scene. Because the next scene is they get to the cricket thing, and we meet Charles, who is like the guy that's all like, what ho, and whatnot.
He does genuinely say what ho.
Yeah, and smashing or whatever. But he also stares at Nyssa and is like, sorry for staring, but you look exactly like my fiance, Anne. He's like, you'll have to meet her at some point. And then they chat about cricket for a little bit, and I have no idea what they're saying, but it sounds like the doctor's bragging.
Sure.
Because he's like, Charles is like, medium pace, slow pace. And the doctor's like, fast. I like it fast.
I cricket all the crumpets.
Exactly. And then the doctor plays cricket for...
so long.
So long.
I don't... It's just bonkers to watch a sport that you don't understand in any way. Where, like, things are happening and people are cheering and you're like, yeah!
There's even a joke where, like, the doctor does a thing and Tegan's like, what a good bowl! Or whatever. And Adric and Nyssa, because they're from space, just look at each other like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
It was very relatable.
Yeah. Like, that's how I am with every sporting event. Like, anytime I'm at somebody's house and they're watching the football or the hockey.
I mean, I could explain hockey to you.
Nah. when we're at your parents' house and they're watching hockey, I am mesmerized by it. But I'm not watching the game. I'm just trying to read the advertisements on the rink wall. I could do that for 10 minutes and then I get really bored.
I like hockey. I like soccer.
Hockey doesn't score enough. It's boring. Like, it's just them passing the same thing back and forth and back and forth.
It's exciting.
At the end of the game, it's like, oh, wow, that was a close one. They won by 1 point. I was like, oh, what was the final score? 1-0?
I mean, that probably means that there was like a lot of back and forth and almost scoring.
Sure. It's like that every game I've seen. Anyway, Cricket. Afterwards, they're invited to a costume ball. They're invited back to the Cranley Hall. Cranley?
Sure.
Cranley Hall.
Which is magnificent. Magnificent, magnificent, magnificent. We're going to spend... We've played quite a bit of cricket. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to spend almost a whole episode just having a nice party.
Also, we get a couple of nice little references, because the Lady Cranley says, they're, like, introduced, and like, this is the Doctor, and she's like, oh, Doctor Who?
Wink. Nice.
And and Charles is like, oh, he wishes to remain anonymous?
I love how much that they just are like, well, we have to respect your privacy. Like...
And then this other
because
guy...
Because it seems like they've pretty much put together that, like, this isn't the guy that they were...
No, they
expecting.
No, they haven't put that together yet. This is the guy they thought they were expecting. Like, he was supposed to have been sent by a friend of Charles named Smutty. I fucking kid you not. Because, like, he asked the Doctor, like, how is Smutty? And the Doctor's like, I'm sorry, what? And he's like, do you not call him Smutty? And the Doctor's like, no. He's like, ah, it's weird. We always used to call him Smutty. But,
what did he do to get that nickname?
Some unsavory things. Also, there's a guy here that comes up to the Doctor and is like, you know, saying, what a good game. You're almost as good as the Master. And the Doctor's like, the Master? And then they say some guy that I'm sure is a famous cricketer from the 20s.
I don't know.
And they're like, yes, you know, the other Doctor. And the Doctor's like, the other Doctor? And they're like, yeah. And then he says a specific name. And the Doctor's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Can I say, I as like thrilled as I am at the prospect of like having a party, I hate almost all of these people.
I didn't hate them initially, but I hated them by the end of the serial.
Oh, I hated them immediately.
I thought some of them were cute. Especially the older guy.
Yeah, he's cute. He's...
The scenes with him and Tegan.
He's cute, and Mrs. Double is cute.
Man.
And fuck the rest of them.
That's fair. They're all horrible people, and the show does not...
Doesn't know that they're horrible?
Right. We'll get to that.
I mean, so, like, they're very prim and proper and polite.
But they're also dickheads. But let's not get to that yet.
Okay,
I want to
okay.
dwell in how good this first episode is.
Because it is.
By the way, this is also the first serial since The Highlanders that hasn't had science fiction elements other than, you know,
oh, wow.
the TARDIS and time travel.
Yeah.
Some people say that it's not a pure historical because it's not based on any actual historical
event.
But it is the first since The Highlanders that hasn't had any monsters or aliens, even though they hint at it. Like, you know, they had this Master reference, and then there's, like, this growling guy. They're like, is that some sort of monster or something?
Spoilers, it's man.
Turns out it is a white man, in the fullest sense of the word. So, yes, then everybody's hanging out, and we get to meet Anne for the first time. And they do some really good split screens and doubles.
Hmm.
Like, there's definitely a double who, like, keeps her face away for some shots, and then they do some nice split screen. And honestly, I think she does a really good job at differentiating between the two characters.
Yeah, because a little later on...
And it's not just the hair.
A little later on, they've got matching costumes. I love that the reaction to that is, like, the one guy's like... That's a bit naughty.
Right.
But they have these matching costumes, and there's a couple times where you're like, oh, that's definitely Anne.
Right.
Or, oh, that's definitely Nyssa.
Just
which
by the
means,
way they deliver the lines.
Yeah, which means she did a great job.
I will say, I think Anne emotes a little bit more than Nyssa does.
Oh.
Which is interesting. Also, there's this great bit that I like where it's just a drink order. They're just putting in their drink order, and the Doctor's like, yeah, I'll have, this, and Adric will have this, and then, like...
Tegan orders a screwdriver.
Yeah, Tegan orders a screwdriver, and Nyssa has no idea what that is, so she's like, I'll have one, too. And they're like, orange juice, I think, because she's supposed to be... She's younger.
Oh.
Yeah.
I forget that she's supposed to be younger.
And it's doubly confusing.
I thought that was weird. I thought that was weird, because I was like, why did he say that? Because I forgot that she's
her and Adric are supposed
to
be
young.
Question, though, does that mean Anne is young, too? And this mustached motherfucker is going to be marrying a child?
Somebody who's not old enough to drink?
Yeah. And this is her second fiancé. Because she was engaged to his brother initially.
No, that's a great point.
And they look exactly identical except for a mole and their haircut.
Hmm.
Why does that happen so much in this universe, by the way? There's just somebody that happens to look exactly like somebody else.
There's somebody who happens to look exactly like me because I've been told that. Like, people get excited to see me and then sad.
Really?
It's happened to me multiple times.
Cameron Diaz?
No. It used to,
Drew Barrymore.
It used to happen on
all the Charlie's Angels.
It used to happen on my college campus all the time.
Really?
And so I don't know who it was, but they were apparently a lot more fun than I was.
That sounds accurate.
People be like, oh my god! And
you're like, no, I'm not fun. All I do is play Animal Crossing.
Well, it was college, so I would have been playing
An earlier version of Animal Crossing?
Yes. The GameCube Animal Crossing, but also Zelda.
Which one?
Marjorie's
Mask.
No.
Breath of the Arrow.
No.
I know what
it is. The N64 one that's not Majora's Mask.
Oh, shoot.
Right? It's gone. I'm looking at it. It's literally right.
Zelda, A Link to the Past.
It's not A Link to the Past.
Zelda. We got him. Zelda 64.
Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time.
I've had a lot of Ocarina of Time. The person who lived across the hall from me, I would make her come over and fight the hard bosses for me.
That's unearned. You have to do it.
No, I still haven't beaten it, actually. One of these days I should probably try and beat Ocarina
spoilers.
Of Time. Spoilers.
Link wins. If you do it right.
Anyway.
So, we also, keep cutting back to this guy who's tied up in bed. I'm just going to tell you his name. It's George. Spoilers. This doesn't get revealed until, almost the end of episode 2, but it is... Well, actually, they start talking about him in this next scene, because Tegan sees this black orchid, and the Lady Cranley, talks about the black orchid, and it was found by her dead botanist explorer son, George. Except he's not dead, he's the guy tied up upstairs.
Oh.
Did you not know that?
Yeah, I did.
But George is tied up upstairs. We don't know why he's tied up. We don't know that he's George. He is being watched by this guy with the big lip ring. Which, by the way, they dub over his voice.
I thought so.
I guess because it was hard to understand. But
I was so nervous when he showed up.
I was like, oh god, this is going to be a problematic episode. This character's not that problematic.
Not really, no.
It's everything else. I mean,
he's one of the few things that aren't just the worst.
I mean, it's probably a little problematic. I do feel like they probably put him in there just to be like, ooh, look, what's this guy? He's got a big lip ring, you know what I mean? I don't know, I feel like they put it in there to be creepy, you know? Because he's tied in with, who's this guy watching this other guy tied up sort of thing. And he's definitely not portrayed in the best of lights for a while.
Yeah.
Though at the end, they're, fine with him, I guess.
He is just a nice guy, I guess.
I guess. He ties a dude up and keeps him locked in a room. I don't know how nice that is.
Fair enough.
His name, by the way, is Latoni, which is French for the Tony. George gets out of his ropes and knocks him out, and he wanders off into the mansion. Charles gives the doctor his costume. It's a clown costume, as we've already established.
Because the doctor is a clown.
He puts the mask on and he looks around a bit, but then he takes it back off because he's got to jump in the shower. He just had a very intense cricket match.
Oh my gosh. Tegan's dress is so beautiful. She looks like a petite little flower. She's just a little blossom.
Upper half?
Graceful.
Upper half, green and Peter Pan-ish.
Yes.
Bottom half, pink and Tinkerbell-ish.
It's so pretty. Ooh, I love it.
Nyssa's like, well, I have to, I don't know how to do the dances or whatever. And Tegan's like, well, watch me. And she starts doing the Charleston.
She learned the Charleston for a play.
Nyssa's like, oh, is that all? That's very simple. Where I come from, we do way more complex dances, and I'm very good at it, not to blow my own horn. And it's at this point that Anne comes in and is like, guess what? We're going to wear the same costume and fuck with people.
And that's another great costume. It looks like...
the 1920s gender-bent version of the Tick.
I was about to say, if somebody did a showgirl version of the Tick.
You know what? It's kind of like the Tick meets Arthur, because there's wings, too.
And it's so sparkly. And it does...
Shit, is it supposed to be a butterfly?
I think so.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's so sparkly. It's got these antennas, and then, these beautiful wings.
All blue.
It's... magnificent. Everyone should get to wear a fancy dress all the time.
She also brings up, like, the only difference between them is the mole on her shoulder. But that doesn't really play into
anything.
Even,
like, at some point they'd be like, ah, you've got the mole. It's this one. But no, no. It feels like it's being set up for later, but it's not.
Not. It's just there. So the doctor's in the shower, and he hears something outside, and he goes to check it out, and he's like, oh, shit, there's a door open to a secret passage. And then walks right in it and gets locked out of his bedroom. And there's even a bit later where he's like, why do I always let my curiosity get the best of me? Basically, George had snuck in through the secret passage, locked the doctor out, takes the costume, and now he's the clown. But then we get to see the ball. We get to see dancing and having fun.
Eating so much food.
Nyssa asks Adric to dance, and he's uncomfortable with it. And then we see Tegan dancing with this older guy.
Tegan is just having, like, the nicest time.
I would watch an episode that's just based around Tegan and this guy. He's like, he was the one that brings up the thing, like, I hope Charles is dancing with the right lady. It's a little bit naughty. Tegan says, I think it's a great hoot. And he's like, a great what? Hoot!
There's a different bit of slang that she teaches him. But, like, every time he is absolutely delighted.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit later where he's like, they've just finished dancing. And he's like, sorry you had to dance with such an old fuddy-duddy. Maybe we can find somebody your own age, basically. And she's like, oh, but you dance like a real beaut. And he's like, beaut? Now that's a real hoot. And then he laughs because he said the slang that the kids use. Which, by the way, were people saying hoot in 82? Was that the slang of the time? People were calling things a hoot?
To be fair, I have heard my mom say it on multiple occasions. So yeah, maybe.
I can hear your mom saying it. She has a way of pronouncing her double O's.
It's that Midwest, yeah.
I don't remember the story, but she said prostitute once. And she said prostitute, and it's never left my brain. Anyway, Nyssa and Anne get together, start dancing, and then run inside and then run back out. And you're like, oh shit, I don't know which one's which anymore.
They're so cute. They come back out and they bow and they are running around dancing with people.
Yeah, one of them runs up to Adric and Adric goes, Nyssa? And she's like, guess. And then they start dancing. And then Charles is like, gets his own. And
he gets his.
And he's like, Anne? And she's like, guess. And then they start dancing. And then I was like, I honestly don't know. But it gets resolved fairly quickly. Honestly, this whole, like, mistaken identity thing between...
doesn't contribute to the plot.
There's not...
Which is fine.
A little, but not much.
Because the plot is the worst part of this whole serial.
Yeah.
And if it didn't happen, it would be a great serial.
This episode is, like, top-tier Doctor Who. The serial...
is hot, steamy garbage.
Yeah. Honestly, like, for an episode and a good half... episode and a half, maybe? Because, like, there's some really good stuff in episode two as well. But it definitely falls apart by the end. Just completely just shits the bed.
I was going to say, its saving grace is that it doesn't have a lot of plot. And so anytime it is, like, doing plot stuff, you're like, oh, what a nightmare.
Oh, so there's another... Okay, you know what else is great about this? The Tegan's great in this. Nyssa's great in this. And this is the first episode that I feel like they've been great in.
Yeah.
And also... Adric is great in this.
Can we talk? I talked about how, like, great everybody's outfits are. Adric's outfit sucks.
Actually, I like his outfit better than his normal outfit, though.
Do you?
Yeah, he looks more, like, comfortable.
That's the thing. Like, everybody has, like, these fancy costumes that are things.
And he's kind of got, like, a peasant look going on.
Adric just has, he just looks like he's in a version of his outfits that's his pajamas. And he still has his stupid star. That made me so angry in a way I can't explain. That, like, he changed into a costume and was like, ah, I gotta have my math star. I gotta have my star that lets everybody know I'm good at maths.
He's also not scrunching up his face the entire episode, which is nice.
Has he been doing that?
Yeah, it's that squint that he does, where he's like, I'm confused. But this, he's just having a good time.
He's eating so much food.
Oh, yeah, because
you know
he's
what?
Like...
I respect that.
Someone's like, you should dance with so-and-so. And he's like, I'd much rather eat. And then just leaves the dance floor.
He's got this plate and it's just piled so high. Like, that's the one time when we finally work out who's Nyssa and who's Anne. Because, like, Nyssa comes up to Adric and Nyssa's like,
you pig. And then Tegan comes up and is like, got enough there? And he's like, don't you start.
He's like,
I didn't have breakfast.
Don't you judge me and my magnificent pile of food. We never eat.
This is the best episode for Adric. I was like, yeah. I literally said, let the boy eat.
There's a bit in the Adventure Zone where I think it's Travis who like makes a joke where he's like, and then I'm going to go to the bathroom because I have not peed in months. And I don't know when I'll get the opportunity to again. And that's how I feel about like Adric eating. He's like, I may never see another sandwich.
Also, this is the first episode that I know of that the doctor's bathed, so. He spends most of this episode, because he doesn't get into his costume because he got locked in that passageway. He's just like in a Hugh Hefner robe.
For so much of it.
Oh, it's also something else I want to say about Adric. I was doing the GIFs this morning. He looks so much to me like, I forget the actor's name, but he plays Beast in the X-Men reboots. He's in like X-Men, not Frasier, but like X-Men First Class and all that. Do you know what I'm talking about? He was also the zombie in Warm Bodies.
You know that I don't remember.
He was also the boy in About a Boy. But he looks so much like him. It was like, I kept doing the gifs and I was like, Adric looks like somebody. I can't put my finger on it. And I finally figured it out. It's the dude from X-Men.
Okay.
So the party gets interrupted a little bit by Latoni telling Lady Cranley that George has escaped. Well, he doesn't say George, but he says he escaped. So we now know that Lady Cranley, who by the way is like dressed up like Marie Antoinette or something. She's got like a big do. We know that like she's in on whatever this weirdness is that we haven't figured out. Which is just that she's keeping her son locked up. The doctor, meanwhile, has actually gotten to George's room and is just wandering around looking at books and finding doors and cupboards. And his plot's boring this episode. Moving on. Tegan does the Charleston again.
She does the Charleston and everyone at the party's like,
hell yeah. And then there's a great bit, because this is before Adric figures out who's who. And either Anne or Nyssa is doing the Charleston. And Adric turns to the other one and says, well, you must be Nyssa because you can't do that. And she's like, oh, can't I? And then she goes out on the dance floor and also starts doing the Charleston. And Adric looks just so like...
a little smitten, I think.
Yeah. Just like, aw, nice. Everybody's having such a good time. I loved this episode.
Yes, I loved this episode specifically. Well, I mean, once we got past the cricket, there was a lot of cricket to get through.
I didn't mind the cricket. I liked the cricket. Every time they'd throw a thing and the doctor would do something good, I don't know what it was, but they'd go,
it was very polite, too. Like, it was excited, but it was like, yes!
I don't know. They made a weird noise every time he threw, when he was pitching, I guess. I don't know. Bowling?
I don't know.
He'd throw the ball and then it hit the stick and then they'd all go, it reminded me of those like Budweiser commercials from back in the day. What's up? It's like that, Jesus. But like for cricket. Did I just violently send you back to the 90s?
Yes. Yes, you did.
What's up? Remember when everybody did that?
Oh, I mean, like, for the whole decade they did.
I hate that because it made me watch a shitty movie. Okay, I hate Scary Movie. It's not a funny movie. I don't like it. But my dad and I really wanted to see it because the trailer was just them doing What's Up.
And you thought that was funny?
We thought that was funny.
Well, that's on you.
Yeah, I know. And then we went and watched the movie. And we were like, well, that was a mistake. Sorry if you like Scary Movie, but it's not good.
But you shouldn't.
So the clown comes downstairs. By the way, it's George, by the way. He comes downstairs. He actually acts fairly normal at this point.
Winnie's the clown.
Yeah.
Except for the part where he murders people.
Yeah, but other than that, he's fine.
He dances.
He dances well. He even does like a little bow to Adric when he takes Anne's hand. And they do it because that's who he's dancing with. He's dancing with Anne because Anne used to be his fiance. We will find out. So they start dancing and it's a little creepy because we know who it is. But he's not being creepy at this point.
No, they're just having a nice dance.
Meanwhile, the doctor finds a body in a cupboard and is like, oh dear. That's the end of his plot line in this episode is he finds a dead body and is just like, oops. It's the dead guy from the beginning of the episode that we're like, who's this? What's going on? But George brings Anne inside the house, and then he starts getting a little weird. He starts growling, and then she tries to get away, and he pulls her back. And then she's screaming and a servant comes in. The servant who comes in, by the way, is carrying like a bowl. He runs away from them, sets the bowl down on a table, then runs back to save them.
I did not notice this.
I did. I was like, okay, gotta carefully lay down the bowl before rescuing this woman who is being strangled by a clown. He goes to rescue her, but then the servant winds up being strangled to death by this clown. This is when I knew for a fact it wasn't Nyssa, because Anne faints. Nyssa would not faint. Then George goes to strangle her, and that's the cliffhanger. That's the end of episode one. We are now into episode two, which I have called And Then There Was Five, because Fifth Doctor, and we're kind of in the Agatha Christie thing, and then there were none.
Okay. It's not the worst one you've ever done.
Is it better than Balls?
Yeah.
So, while doing the gifs, I realized they redo the cliffhanger. Because, like, the cliffhanger, he's going to strangle her. And then when they do the recap, he doesn't go to strangle her.
Oh, really?
Really, yeah. She's just laying there. So, the doctor...
Because that wouldn't even make sense.
Right? I mean, he does sort of attack her a little bit. But that's when she's, like, trying to get away. Everything about this guy's is...
This serial's just bad.
We're still kind of in the good point, though. Let's hold on to the good, right?
All right.
So, the doctor, well, he goes into another secret passageway and bumps into Lady Cranley and Latoni.
I will say, I love this scene, because the doctor is in, like, a part of the house that he shouldn't be in.
They're having a very suspicious conversation together. Not Lady Cranley and Latoni.
But, like, she's just like, oh... And the doctor's like, oh, yeah, my apologies. I guess I shouldn't be here. And she's like, no, no, it's fine. Like, it's a weird...
Polite.
Yes. It's like, it's such a polite conversation, but nothing that is happening makes any sense.
Yeah, the doctor's all like, sorry, but I just found a dead body? And they're like, oh, dear, really? Where? He's like, can I show you? Would you like to see it? I know where it is. It's right over here. Perhaps, maybe? And they go and look at it, and she's like, oh dear. Oh dear, dear, dear. That was a servant. Sorry you had to witness this. But hey, would you please keep it quiet from the other guests at the party, because they didn't have anything to do with it. We'll tell the police, but you know, I don't want to upset anyone. Them. And the doctor's like, oh, yeah, 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 okay, yeah, that's fine. Anyway, can you lead me back to my room so I can get into my costume? Because I don't want to miss this party. that's not a joke! That's what happens!
He does! He goes back and he gets his costume on, and he's like, I'm gonna get me some tiny sandwiches! He's not interested in this dead body at all! He's like, the proper authorities have been called. I never get to have any fun. And I never get to eat tiny sandwiches.
And he won't get to.
And
either.
I certainly never get to eat tiny sandwiches dressed as a clown.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty of that in his future, probably.
You know, George has real good timing, by the way, because he drags Anne to a bedroom, puts her in a bed, gets out of the clown costume, puts it back in the doctor's room, all before the doctor can get back to the bedroom. Very convenient.
That's very well thought out for somebody who is. Doesn't seem to have that much, like, mental faculties. To, like, put it back so that the doctor will wear it. So that it'll be like, oh, it was him.
And this is, we see George tucking in Anne. He, like, pulls the blanket over. And this is the first time that we actually get to see George. And he's all kind of messed up in the face and his hands. It looks like he's been burnt or something. He doesn't have a tongue. We learn that later. But... one of his eyes is sort of swollen over. He's got a little bit of a hunchback that he doesn't have when he's a clown for some reason. Did you notice that?
No.
He has a bit of a hunch and a stagger when he's walking around. But when he's dressed as a clown, he can fucking dance like there's no tomorrow.
Miserable, terrible, awful.
Anne wakes up, freaks out, and rushes out, and Lady Cranley's there to comfort her. And Latoni sneaks back in and ties George back up. And the doctor gets his clown outfit on and starts to head down to the party. He's like, yeah. And,
Gonna get me some sandwiches.
And he comes down the stairs and is like screaming, "That's him. That's the one who attacked me." And then the doctor turns and is like, "What?" And he takes his mask off. He's like, "Me? No, I'm me." And they start bickering back and forth. And she was like, "It was definitely you." And he's like, "Wait, was I wearing the mask?" And she was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Well, then, duh, it wasn't me. Somebody else had the same costume." And she's like, "I was in charge of the costumes. There were no duplicates." Because they're like, "You had a duplicate costume." She's like, "Yeah, I was fucking with people." But there was no second Harlequin costume. There was only one. And the doctor's like, and they're like, "Doctor, do you have, we don't know your name. Do you have any ID?"
Right, like, this is like the first time that they become suspicious about the fact that the doctor doesn't want to say who he is. This is like, up until that point,
you didn't even know who Smutty was.
I thought his name was Smarty.
No, it's Smutty. It's definitely Smutty. And then the doctor's next course of action, his brilliant alibi for all of this, is he goes, "I'm a Time Lord who travels in time and space."
Not only that, but he's like, "I couldn't have done it. I was finding that other dead body, so..."
Right, he's like, "I know you told me to be quiet about that, but hey, I'm in some deep water here."
But, like, I don't know why he thought that would help. Like, said, like, "No, there was another... No, 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 no. Tell him. Tell him about the other dead body."
And then she won't do it.
She won't do it. But even if she would, what if she's like, "Yeah, no, I saw the doctor with another dead person." He's like, "See? Couldn't have done it."
Also, I want to stress, that was not his first option. That was his second option. His first option was, "I travel through time."
I mean, to be fair, the doctor's being very polite because he says, "Tell me the truth." And he says, "You won't believe it.
I have a time machine. You know H.G. Wells?" And he's like, "Yes, he writes fiction."
He asked him to tell him the truth. The doctor told him the truth.
Sure.
He's being proper and polite.
Oh, I also like, he keeps like trying to clear himself. And he's also like, "Also, I have, there's no reason I would attack you. Like, you've done nothing to me. Why would I attack you?" And also, like, it wouldn't be cricket.
It's the most sincere line reading I think I've ever heard. The way that he says it. The way that the guy responds is like, "He's right.
It wouldn't be cricket."
It wouldn't be cricket. And he has to be like, "I mean, I do respect the sentiment, but it's not a defense."
So they're like, "All right, let's go look at this other body. Maybe this will clear something up." So they go. There's no body there because clearly they've moved it. And there's just a doll there. And the doctor's like, but no, it was me. It was you. There was that guy with the lip ring. You introduced me to him. The guy from Brazil where they make the nuts.
Where they make the nuts. I don't. The doctor proceeds to be the least suave he's ever been.
And I fucking love it.
Where they make the nuts.
Where they make the nuts. He just keeps like digging himself further and further. And he just gets more and more like, "Oh God. Oh God. I'm usually better than this. Oh God."
But I feel like this is usually much easier.
Meanwhile, Charles gets a phone call about how Smutty missed his train and apologizes for his, you know, ringer not getting there, his cricket guy. And they come in and it's like, "Smutty just called! You're not the doctor!" And everyone gets arrested. The doctor gets arrested, the companions get arrested as his accomplices for murder. And the doctor thanks Lady Cranley for a pleasant evening and then heads out to be arrested, to go to jail. But the doctor's like, "I want to stop at the train station because I'm going to prove to you that I can travel through time." And they get there and the TARDIS is gone. Which, I was like, "Ooh, that's interesting." But then it's immediately solved in the next scene when they show up at the police station.
And they're like, "Hey, we found this police box.
Just hanging out at the train station. Can't open it. Can't break into it. Can't do nothing." And the doctor's like, "This key will do it." So,
he's so smug in that moment, too.
It's the first time he's ever, like, done something.
He did something right, and it worked. He was so happy.
They go into the TARDIS. Everyone goes in the TARDIS. Tegan has a great line, or, like, one of the guys like, "We won't all fit in there." And she's like, "You're in for a surprise." Very over the top. Which actually is a nice transition into the next scene, because while that's all been going on, George has once again gotten out of his ropes. I don't know why they just keep tying him up when clearly that's not working. Well, after she says, "You're in for a big surprise," it cuts to George tackling Latoni. And they get into a fight, and Latoni just drops the key to the door between the, like, floorboards, and then is murdered. He gets killed by George, and George can't get out because the door is locked. So he's like, Kessel set fire to the door.
It works.
Starts stuffing paper up under there. But meanwhile, in the TARDIS, one of the other policemen comes in and says, strike me pink! Good dialogue in this episode. But they're like, wow, this is great. You are a time traveler. Look at this. This is amazing. It's definitely a time machine. Doesn't clear you from murder.
Right.
The doctor's like, well, poop.
You could, in fact, be a time traveling murderer.
It's happened. Have you seen that Malcolm McDowell movie?
No.
I think it's called Time After Time. Jack the Ripper steals H.G. Wells' time machine and goes to the modern day 1970s.
Huh.
And H.G. Wells has to chase down Jack the Ripper.
Is it
and he falls
Warehouse
in love with
13 H.G. Wells?
No.
Not a pity.
It's Malcolm McDowell.
She's so hot.
It's Malcolm McDowell from Clockwork Orange.
I'm not listening to you because I'm imagining Warehouse 13 H.G. Wells.
It's still pretty adorable because he falls in love with Mary Steenburgen and it's cute. He also goes to this quaint Scottish restaurant, which is McDonald's. I do think there's some Jack the Ripper becomes a woman in the book-only sequel. I don't know how. And I've heard it's very problematic. Anyway, stuff's going... There's a fire going on... Or no, they don't say there's fire going on in the mansion. They say there's stuff going... We need to get back to the mansion. And the doctor's like, well, I can get you there faster than your stupid cars.
He's so delighted by this, too. They're like, really? Okay, neat. Do it.
Turn on your murder machine.
That's a bit, like, they definitely still suspect him of murder, but he's like...
Want to see something neat?
Yeah, and they're like, yeah.
The doctor just murders them. But no, they go to the mansion. George jumps through the door that's on fire. He, like, kicks out the boards, jumps through it, runs downstairs. At this point, George and Lady Cranley have told Anne about George. We don't get in on that. We just know that Anne's very upset about something. But it's because she just found out her fiancé, ex-fiancé, isn't dead, and they've been keeping him locked up in a room in the mansion. She runs. George runs down the stairs. Everybody sort of meets in the, like, I don't know what you call that room. The lobby. George grabs Nyssa.
Foyer.
Thank you. George grabs Nyssa, thinking she's Anne, and runs up the stairs through the fire. And everybody runs outside. Well, they don't run outside immediately, because Lady Cranley has to explain a bunch of shit. It's like, oh, by the way, George isn't dead. He just stole a flower and got maimed for it. They, like, cut his tongue out because, like, it wasn't his flower. It was their flower, and they thought it was sacred. So they, like, cut him up a bit. They messed him up, and then Latoni found him and saved him and brought him back. But then it was too late. He was already crazy. That's basically it, right?
That's so god awful. Yeah, that's basically it. That's the fucking plot of this whole serial.
But he was so ugly and crazy that we'd, like, we'll just say he's dead.
Like, mercifully, this plot is, like, contained to, like, the last 5 minutes of the serial.
Yeah.
Which makes the rest of it watchable.
But it just gets worse from this point on. Everything from this point on is shit. George gets up to the roof. The doctor runs back inside and goes through the fire to get to the roof. Charles just climbs the mansion like he's fucking Spider-Man. They both get up on the roof. The doctor's like, that's not Anne, it's Nyssa. Look down there. And George looks over the side and he sees Anne. And he's like, oh shit. And then lets Nyssa go. And then everybody's like, oh, that's good, he let her go. And then Charles is like, oh, brother, thank you. Give me a hug, bring it in. And he's like, oh, fuck. Like, George backs away from his brother coming in for a hug and falls off the fucking building.
And dies.
And then, and like, but he became, he truly had, like, a soul there at the end because he let this woman go.
I mean, he had a soul the whole time.
Yeah, but he also did some shitty things. Then we cut to.
This whole thing's a mess.
We cut to post-funeral, where Tegan and Nyssa are very excited because they get to keep their outfits. Fair enough.
One, fair enough. Great. I'm glad they had a scene saying, yes, they got to keep these dresses. Amazing. Good. But it is at the funeral.
Everybody's dressed in black. Except for Tegan and Nyssa, who was like bright purple.
Who were just in their regular outfits, which are, yes, bright purple. And they're very happy about, like, getting to keep their dresses. And it's like, anyway,
our son really did die this time. It wasn't a lie we made up. And they're like, doctor, we didn't want you to feel left out either at this funeral. You get a present too. And he's like, oh, cool. What'd I get? Gimme, gimme, gimme. And they hand him a book and he's like, oh, I'll treasure this forever. And he flips it open and it's Black Orchid by George Cranley, the guy who just died.
The guy who fucking, okay.
Stole a
sacred object from a culture he did not belong to, which is something that we're not critical of at all in this serial.
It's still in the fucking mansion.
It's still in the mansion. That's not like the it's not presented as the problem of the serial. It's not like, oh, he took this sacred object and he shouldn't have. It's like
they fucked him up and he went crazy.
Also, like, the doctor doesn't know this man. So, like, they give him the book and the doctor's like, oh, thank you. Like, you didn't know him. He wasn't, like, a friend.
You saw him twice.
He
framed you for murder.
I don't know why they give the doctor the book at the end. I don't know why that's supposed to be, like, touching. I don't know why nobody in the family suffers any consequences for being the worst.
For locking a dude up and saying that he's dead? They didn't take him to a fucking doctor.
For lying about murder?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the mom hides a dead body, lies to the police about it.
To protect her murderous son.
At no point are we like, hey, that was bad. No, we just go have tea with her later. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't understand the serial. I don't understand it. It's a two-parter. Was it written really fast to replace something?
No.
Why?
You know what?
Is it the way that it is?
Before we get too deep into this.
Okay.
That's the end of the serial. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk about this in our final thoughts.
Claire here with a special announcement. Contrary to popular belief, I didn't cancel Dr. Geek's laboratory. It fell into development purgatory thanks to MacGuffinite crystals or some such science from fiction nonsense. I've put an end to that. I locked all the staff inside the laboratory for the duration of the crisis. Now they can create 24/7 without petty distractions like home lives or free will. Look for new Dr. Geek episodes coming soon. The Gay Dynamics, last up against the wall when the robots rise.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is? I bet you're not even going to do a bit right now because you want to get into it.
No, I'm not. It's time for final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
What the fuck? I don't understand. Do you know what's really frustrating about this?
What's really frustrating?
It's not just that, like, the plot of this is so fucking bad. We just had, like, a really good serial that was, like, very critical of imperialism and colonialism and... This, like, has all that and then doesn't criticize any of it. It's like, anyway.
It's so casually, like...
It feels like it's setting it all up to criticize it. And then it's just like, we're not interested in that at all, actually.
They're actually fine.
They're fine and they're our friends and we love them.
Though they've done horrible, horrendous things.
And also, like, I mean, you have this guy who's, like, the monster, who's somebody who's just a person... Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that somebody who is just, like, mentally scarred would just, like, why is he murdering people? Mm-hmm. There's no reason why he's murdering people.
Well, I mean, it's because the native people who he fucking stole from cut him up and ripped his tongue out and stuff, and it made him go crazy.
It made him go, yeah, but, like, you don't just, generally, that doesn't make you just start, like, murdering people. Like,
I feel like it would have been stronger a little bit if it was, like, it wasn't really that. It was the fact that you fucking locked him up. You tied him up.
Right.
You know? That's traumatic.
Like, he was fine, but he was just, like...
They were like, oh, he's ugly.
Disformed, and so that... Yeah. There's...
Like, even that's a little... But it would have been at least a little bit better.
There's stuff... I don't know. Like, I don't understand what this story thinks it's interested in. I just don't know.
It was so much better when there wasn't a plot.
And, yeah. And that's what's so frustrating. Like... The parts of it that's just like, let's watch the companions, like, at a party. And the companions are so good in this one. They've been so boring because they've just been arguing and bland and blah. And they're enjoying themselves in this one. And, like, because they are enjoying themselves, they are fun to watch. Just what a nightmare. What a mess. What a mess.
It was a great serial.
For any time that the plot wasn't happening, it was fun.
Yeah.
And then anytime the
shit the bed.
Anytime the plot was happening, I wish it wasn't. That's it. I'm done.
That's our final rant. Someone should make an edit of this that doesn't have the bullshit.
Where, like, nothing, literally nothing happens. They just go to a fancy dress party and then leave.
And then, yeah, then they're like, oh, thanks for letting us keep the dresses.
And then it's one of my favorite cereals of all time.
Oh, you know what? Who it's not their favorite cereal? Any of the cast. None of them liked it. Peter Davison didn't like it. Janet Fielding didn't like it. Nyssa, the one who played Nyssa, liked it a little bit more than they did because she got stuff.
She had to play two people.
But apparently they didn't like that there wasn't science fiction elements and that there was like no real plot or tension. But I'm like,
that's the only good parts.
Is the parts without plot and tension. That stuff's great because it's fun. The only things that suck is when it's like trying to do a murder mystery.
Oh, it's just bad.
Though I do like the murder mystery aspects that are the doctor's been framed for a murder he didn't commit. And he has no idea what the fuck to do. Love that. Love that a lot.
Right. Yeah.
But anything that's like directly involved with like George and his family. No. Bad. I'm still just like, my mind reels at the fact that this serial is both the best serial of this season and the worst serial of this season.
I mean, I don't think it's the best. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, but what else happened this season?
No, that's a good point.
I mean, Kenda's pretty good. Kenda's real good.
Yeah.
I would say this is more fun than Kenda.
I don't know about that.
I'd say it's more fun than Kenda. Maybe not better, but more fun.
I just don't know.
They do the Charleston and Adric eats food. That's what you want. Always said you wanted is people eating food.
It's true, and I did thoroughly enjoy that. Here's the thing, though.
Scenes where Adric is just standing around holding a piece of chicken.
I can't get over how infuriated I am by the end.
What do you do with a cocktail in a bath?
Drink it. Oh, no joke. I could use a cocktail in a bath.
What are you going to say?
I don't know. I'm thinking about the bath now.
Are we done?
Yeah, I can't. I can't. I can't.
Another good point I will say. 2 episodes. Loved it. Pace is great. I want more two-parters. I like two-parters. They are a lot easier to pay attention to.
And then we don't make a podcast that's 2 hours long. We spent like 10 minutes talking about fucking hair.
So, before we go, is there anything we need to plug?
Please watch The Unseen World. It's see Unseen World everywhere. You can watch it on the Roku. You can watch it at
watchheartlandtv.com.
It's on demand in both those places. It's actually great, I think, to watch right now.
Because we can't go anywhere.
Because you can't go anywhere, but it's all travel destinations. So you can imagine going to these places.
You're hard at work on season 2.
Yeah, I think I've edited like 6 packages. No, 7. I've edited 7 packages. I'm starting on the 8th one. I was going to start today, but really all I accomplished was moving footage over. It took a long time. So please watch that. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. Interact with the posts, please.
Share. Like.
Share, like, and subscribe. We don't really have, like, over the air, we don't get ratings. Mm-hmm. And so, like, part of how they tell that, like, people are watching it and stuff is just through engagement. So we do have... We can tell when people watch stuff on demand online and when people engage with our social media. So, please do that, please.
Do that. Tell us what your favorite episode is, and we will read the results on a future podcast.
Oh.
Why not?
Okay.
So, watch The Unseen World. It's on Roku. It's on watchheartlandtv.com. It might be other places as well. I'm not sure. Is it on Fire Stick and all that stuff?
I don't. No, because like the last time I asked, they were like, yes, it will be soon. And I haven't asked again.
Just look for Heartland Network. But it's definitely on the Roku. It's definitely on watchheartlandtv.com. Tell us your favorite episodes. And again, yeah, we'll tell you what you guys thought the best episodes were.
Okay.
You know, maybe not even episodes, segments. Because there's generally 2 segments per episode. I also want to plug Road Trippy again. Road Trippy is out. Road Trippy by JB Hivemind. It's on Amazon. There's an audiobook on the way. It's not out yet, but it will be coming soon. It's a very good book. I like it. You're stuck at home. Read it. Thank you. And if you like this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on watchyourassline.com and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes because it does iTunes magic.
In the same way that I want you to engage in our Unseen World stuff because it helps people know that you've seen it, rating us on iTunes, let iTunes know that people are, in fact, listening to us.
I'm sure you are, but let everyone else know.
Yeah.
If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourassalon.com/support, and there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, uncut video, the podcast records, bonus episodes, and live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD or Blu-ray for us. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check him out at matthewgolden.net. And I also want to give a special shout out to Vincent E.L. for providing us with our theme song.
Thanks, Vince.
You can check out more of their music at vincentel.bandcamp.com. And tune in next time when we talk about Earthshock with returning guest Nathan Laws of the 42 cast.
Ooh.
Until then, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic parasocial way.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.